This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hey folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you know you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, unlike the Owls, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So there's only one thing left to say, what's everybody having? Order now on the McDonald's app and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means you'll get some tasty rewards later on. And between you and me, if you order just before kickoff, you can get it just in time for half-time, but I've not told you that. Only via the app at participating restaurants, 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. See you later.
Just a word of warning, folks, we get a little bit angry in this one and the language is a little bit industrial in this episode of the Wednesday Week.
The Wednesday Week. Five friends, one football club.
And about six jokes they just repeat over and over and over and over and over.
Hello, good evening and welcome to another episode of the Wednesday Week. Currently, as Chelsea are leading Tottenham Hotspurs in their League Cup Carabao. What's it called? Milk Cup? It's Carabao still, isn't it? Yes.
Carabao, yeah.
It is Carabao. As Chelsea are leading and they've come out the absolute traps as Romelu Lukaku is trying to win some friends back over. We're going to talk about people that I'm no longer friends with because as it gets said on Twitter quite a lot, this is like being in an abusive relationship. We're obviously talking about Sheffield Wednesday and we're talking about the last two games that we've had. Vic, did you have a nice Christmas?
No, not really. I thought you meant we were like an abusive relationship then. I was like, all right, fudge, chill out.
No, just my relationship with Sheffield Wednesday is like an abusive relationship. We may be joined by Simon this evening, but he does keep freezing on us and he does keep pulling angry faces at us all. So if we hear him at some point, that'd be great. Can you hear us now, Simon? We'll come back to that in a bit. Ben, how was your Christmas, mate? All right?
Yeah, not bad. Saved a bit by not having to go and watch it against Burton because that may have, in hindsight, that may not have gone well. but yeah, not too bad.
Yeah. What do people your age get for Christmas? Do you still get a new bike and that?
I'm sort of to age now where I got away with links. I didn't get any links, but
you've ruined Christmas.
You're on that sort of road at 21-year-old. You're starting to get smellies. As a staple, rather than Lego sets.
Well, mate, honestly, I had two Link sets, so kiss my face, two of them, and I got six pairs of socks and four pairs of pants. Staple from my nan, the infamous sleepy nan. She gets me the same thing every year and the jumper. And I've now got to the age now where I'm now wearing those jumpers. Whereas before they get put in a drawer and go, how old does my nan think I am? You know what I mean? And now I'm like, this is a lovely bit of knitwear. This I'm gonna wear. This is gonna keep me going till work. Like, you know what I mean? However, one person who did not give us any decent Christmas presents was Darren Moore. First one out, we'll talk about Sunderland. Ben, it was bloody rubbish, wasn't it?
Yeah, not even from start to. I will go say from start to finish then, but it wasn't. First 20 minutes, we started all right. I know we go 1-0 down about 15 minutes in, but we were arguably a better team and they arguably got their first goal against runner play, possibly even the second. At 1-0 down, Lewis Wings pinged a great ball over to Jack Hunt, who took it really well. And I put on Twitter, I used Dave's original Matt Lucas going, Gregory. Great use, like, which were me trying to scream at Jack Hunt to pass it to Lee Gregory. We could all see we're 3 and 8 yards from goal with only goalkeeper to beat. But as right back, who was not scored for the club in two spells over, 4 years, decided to try and score his left foot from outside the box rather than passing it to his top scorer. So after that, well, about 5 minutes later, it was Jack Hunt that gave the ball away for the second goal, which we threw towelling after that, didn't we?
Do you reckon if we'd if he'd have squared it to Gregory and Gregory had stuck it in, it changed the outcome of the game much? Because they were good, weren't they?
They were, but like I said, first 20 minutes, I did feel like we were on top. And if we make it 1-1, then I don't think they're up there in top three teams in the league. I know we battered them at Hillsborough, and they've obviously battered us in return fixture, but I don't think they're that good. I really don't. I think we made it so easy for them after going 2-0 down. I think had we scored to make it 1-1, it'd have changed course of that game and quite possibly the Shrewsbury one as well.
Well, I tell you what, I was looking at some stats once I'd digested the Christmas turkey and all the rest of it, and had the leftovers and the like. I'm trying to take on protein, you know. I'm a gym bro now. Me and Ben were talking about protein before, Vic. Talking about protein shakes. It's what we do now, gym bros.
Did he tell you he's been to the gym, Ben?
Yeah.
He's one of them that takes selfies in front of the gym mirror.
Get in the fucking bin. Goddamn rat bastard.
Yes, you do.
I've taken one gym selfie, right, and I shared it with you to say, look at my man boobs and look how much they're not there anymore. And then you've used it in a public forum in order to humiliate me.
I mean, I could always try and find it for you.
No, I'm all right. Now, listen, Vic, I was looking at... Simon, I can see you moving. Have you connected to the interwebs?
I've got my brand new laptop that I got from work before Christmas, and I've just chucked it in the bin.
Right.
And I'm now using my son's laptop. So.
Well, I tell you what, he's hacked it because I can see you're lovely. I can see you're fine. Now, are you like me? Because I've got to put my big coat on inside. Is that why I've got your hat on? Because we're far too Yorkshire to be turning the eating on.
It's a bit mess, my hair, and I was just, it's freezing in here.
Hey, don't talk to me about hair. I've got one of them now, short back and side cockney haircuts that all the kids have nowadays. And it dawned on me I'm a lot greyer than what I realise. So that's nice, isn't it? Right, we were talking about Sunderland, Simon, Vic. Now, Vic, in terms of possession, we actually pretty much matched them looking at the stats. You know, it was half and half, give or take 1 or 2%. But they had a lot more shots on goal. Do you reckon that's what issue we've got with Sheffield Wednesday? Like, we're just not putting the bloody ball enough near the net.
I mean, that's kind of how you win football matches. It's not rocket science. Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? Because Lee Gregor, we've said a million times, he's easily a 20-goal-a-season striker for us in this league, easily. And, yeah, it's not getting there. And when it does, he scores them. So, to be honest, I don't even know why I'm on. I don't give a shit. it's been awful, hasn't it? I've watched them all. I've been miserable. You've got to start scoring goals, but I don't think it's a case of bringing someone else in this month or anything else. Like, you can't polish a turd. Like, it's already bad. Do you know what I mean? Bringing in, you say you need a good striker, you need someone to score goals. You've got Lee Gregory. That should be it. We shouldn't need anybody else in. But yeah, it's just not getting to him, is it? And the only person that I think, I've said it a million times, I think who we could do with having back would be Mr. Fletcher. But other than that, I think there's something else has got to change, because it's not the strikers that are the issue. It's the fact that the ball's not getting to them. It's like, when it does, he scores. So there's something going wrong, isn't there? There's something going wrong.
Well, I think what Darren Moore's set up to do is not concede goals, by the sound of it, given his tinkering formation. However, that went to piss and shit. Against Sunderland. Now, Sunderland were in free scoring form, as it were. I mean, they smashed 5 past Morecambe. They put 2 past Plymouth, who we can't seem to beat, no matter how many times we draw them. They got a decent away point at Ipswich. This is all leading up. All right, the kids got battered at Sunderland, and then they put 3 away at Doncaster Rovers. So they're obviously playing a different level of football to what we are in terms of attacking. But, I mean, come on, Simon, man. It was rubbish, wasn't it?
Yeah, I where do I start? So I went with Ethan, and I have to agree with Vic in regards to I don't think we need a striker. I don't think we need to change our strikers. I think we need to change the formation and how we're playing. They just looked inept. I don't think Sunderland were that good. I think we made them look good. They didn't look any better team than the team that we beat. Was it 3-0 at Hillsborough? I think I put a picture on our WhatsApp group of I can't remember which goal it was. Was it the third goal where the guy was just stood in the middle of the box and they were surrounded by Wednesday players? He wasn't surrounded by Wednesday players. There were Wednesday players just scattered around in a general area of playing football. And he was, honestly, when he scored it, I looked at Ethan, he looked at me and we were like, well, where's the flag then? Because he's bound to be offside because he's not an era player. And it was calamitous at the back. Say we've got a manager who is an ex-defender. It was just absolutely dire from start to finish. We weren't creating chances for our strikers. So our strikers, you know, huffed and puffed, but couldn't do a great deal because there was no backup, there was no support. If the ball came up to them, they got Pato up front, the ball came up to him, midfield weren't pushing up, so the ball just went, you know, if we lost the ball, they went on the attack. It was bloody dreadful. It was awful. 72 minutes, the only thing that was good was the fans. But at 72 minutes, I just went, I've had enough. Let's go in. Let's go. I mean, bear in mind, there was people who got stuck on the A1, walked off the A1 and paid £200 to get an Uber up there, right?
They're going to get smashed 5-0.
There was a coach, apparently, turned up. We were 3-0 down. And as they were walking in, fans were walking out and they're going, why are you leaving? We're 3-0 down. And they just arrived at 3-0 down.
It seems... Seems a bit. I don't know why they didn't delay the kickoff. Obviously, there was a serious incident where an old lady lost her life after what sounds like a horrific ordeal driving the wrong way up the bloody motorway. Mm. But there should have been some kind of delay. But we've gone down that route of make sure I've seen it on Twitter. They should pay them bloody fans back. We should pay them. But isn't that what we go for? You know what I mean? My money back when I went from Southampton to bloody Hillsborough to watch us get 5-0 at home. You know what I mean?
The Wednesday players delayed their kickoff and they're still delaying it now, to be honest.
So what we'd like to say is well done to the players of Sheffield Wednesday for delaying the kickoff. It was a lovely gesture, lads. Thanks. Just that the other team didn't. You know what I mean? Now, it's poor. Now, Ben, do you reckon this has shone a light? I mean, we had a great unbeaten record on paper. Well played. You know what I mean? But do you reckon that this loss specifically, before we move on to Shrewsbury, do you reckon this kind of shone a light on the fact that it's been a very unconvincing run of form that on paper looks great? You know what I mean? Because we have conceded late and all the rest of it, and we've been grumbling about it for the 12 games that they've been doing. I mean, we're not that good, are we?
No, we've not been that good throughout that 12, 13 game unbeaten run. What, 8 of them draws, I think, something like that. Draws against teams that you do want to be beating. I do think we need... you think not to expect too much, but you still expect that team that we are putting out to be good enough. The quality of player for the division that we're in, we all know should be good enough. I don't think the break, couple of week breaks helped us in terms of momentum, but then if we hadn't had that break and gone and done what we've done, they'd have been saying they're tired, so they'd be, you know, it's as simple as you've got to...
Proper fed up, pal. You sound proper pissed off with life, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, because I've not done that many away games this year, just for, like, other things, putting my time at other things, and Sunderland I were doing regardless, because it would go... It's probably biggest fixture in that league, isn't it, really? Sunderland Wednesday. So, I've not been away since Morecambe. I'm not... I went to Charlton, went to Morecambe, and I'd not been away since, which is something I've not like done for years. I've always gone away. And to go and I were kicking walls and toilet and everything after the game, which usually it's seats that get it for me.
Psycho Ben came.
Yeah,
out.
You need to stay off them steroids, pal.
It does when you see a stroke toweling at 2-0 down, like I said, because I don't think we were that bad first 20 minutes. And like Simon said, they were no better really than the side that we did beat 3-0 at Hillsborough. And to go in, like I say, that's what annoyed me most, that they threw a towel in at 2-0 down, because there was still a game in that for us, but they give up simply. They threw a towel in at 2-0 down, which unacceptable, really. Yeah, they weren't a single player that didn't throw a towel in, to be honest.
They looked lost to me, Ben. They looked lost to me. There were players certainly in midfield who looked to me like they didn't know what they were doing, including Bannon.
Yeah.
You know, who has to be the leader on the pitch. And, you know, I think he had a bit of a flare up into one of their players on wing, but it was a typical Scottish short man attitude. But it was just inept. And he's chopping and changing it around again, isn't he? And obviously you'll go on to the Shrewsbury game. But, you know, Pato, I think last time Pato were playing him at back four, you know, and he dropped Brennan, and then obviously Brennan had to come in. Pardon?
Dropped Corbyn as well. Corbyn and Brennan should be first two names on team sheet.
Exactly. And they were kicking off around us. It was quite amusing because I was sober because I was driving. I was just surrounded by drunken idiots. One who basically kept talking about, oh, well, we're going to sack manager. It's, you know, we've done this 12 match unbeaten run. But Dan, you know, you were testament at the Wimbledon game. You know, these draws have actually been draws snatched from victories, haven't they?
Yeah,
you know,
that's been my issue with it. We should have seen it off, and we haven't.
Yes.
We haven't. Now, Vic, I'm going to ask you a question. Is it us? Is it us as fans? Are we the problem? I believe there's clearly a rot at Sheffield Wednesday, and there's been one for a number of years. We had a brief flirtation of getting away from it under Carlos, but then when the results stopped going our way, God, it was toxic. It was so bad. It was really bad. Now, we've changed the manager. We've virtually got a new team this year. We're playing shite opposition that play in sheds. You know what I mean? We've got one of the best squads in the league. You know, Shadipo, like, for example, played decent level last season. You know what I mean? And can't seem to reproduce it in a shitter league. And the only current constant is Depon Chancery. And let's put a pin in that for the time being. And the fans. Now, I believe that Sheffield as a city has been, for the last 20 years, underrepresented in football. And I'd love to speak to a sociologist and talk about whether it's got something to do with the area and all the rest of it. But both teams in Sheffield, we turn out in our numbers, we make our noise, you know what I mean? We pay our money, and we are constantly under-entertained, as it were. So do we have something, you know, do we have something to bear in terms of what's going wrong at our club right now?
Absolutely not. I think, obviously, fans turning on each other, and that is, it's shite, but it's happened. It's been a horrible couple of years for everybody. And I think that has boiled over into the stands with the toxicity that's around. But I don't think that we need to take any responsibility for it. We are paying customers. If that's what he wants us to be, we are paying customers. That's like buying it. All right, let's go down Meadowhall. Right, that's like buying a pair of jeans from H&M and someone having a shit next to you in the store. That's not your problem. You're a customer. Like, that's up to the store to sort it out. Do you know what I mean? And like, it is. And I went to Hallam a week ago, something like that. It was on the weekend that there were no local games.
1600 turned up, didn't they?
1600 of us, yeah. And I was there with James Marriott, with John, and with James from the Isles of Americas.
He's a good looking bastard.
Oh, he is. I know. I always tell him as well. He looks like Sam Hutchinson. He's a beautiful man. Anyway, so And he's loaded. I'll tell you more about that off air. But yeah, he's got a right good job. But while we were at Hallam, I paid my fiver to get in. I got there at 2:30, paid a fiver to get in. Unlike a certain ex-Sheffield Wednesday player who obviously made a lot of money at the time and played for England, who just gave a thumbs up and didn't pay his £5. But that's by the by, David is. So I paid a fiver to get in. I paid £12 for 4 pints. And I watched a bloody good game of football. Got a programme. And they kept the bar open afterwards. They had 5 staff on the bar. They got it right. And we can't even do that after, I know Hallam's been around a lot longer than us, but come on. Like, I've never even managed to buy more than one thing at Hillsborough for less than £12. And it was a good day out. They had entertainment. They had, you know, it was just something that you sit back and I can see why people have stopped going to Hillsborough, because the love for it's just not, it's not there, and they don't give a toss about us. If he wants us to be a customer, treat us like a customer then. Make it a better day out.
Give us a product.
Give us something. Like, if you don't want me to be a fan, if that's not good enough, if my money is what you want just before Christmas, which, yeah, all right, Muggins era did do, then do it properly. Don't expect me to keep coming and paying when all I'm getting is, you know, all right, it's entertainment. You can't guarantee a win every week. The actual experience of everything is just shy.
I'll tell you what, Vic, given on that example you've just given there, you know, in the surrounding areas, we've got Hallam, we've got Sheffield FC, if you're in a different area of Sheffield, we've got, who else we got? Stocksbridge Park Steels and all the rest of it. Are we on the verge of having an absolute mutiny, just like Wimbledon did when they moved their club and everybody went to go and support the other team in Wimbledon? Do you reckon we're close to that? Is it that bad?
I think there might be a change because Sheffield FC have got the transport ground now and they're building a new stadium there. Mm-hmm. And I know a few people I've spoken to are disillusioned both down at S6 and S2. They've talked about getting season tickets down there instead because you don't have that affiliation in regards to your heart. You'll go and support them because they're a Sheffield team. But obviously your heart, like all of us, will be at Wednesday or United. But you have more of a, probably like Vic had when she went up to Hallam, you have a bit more of a enjoyable day out because you're not so invested in the game. And I think if Sheffield FC build a decent ground, and looking at what I've seen, it's going to be a decent ground with quite a nice capacity, good transport links to it where it is, there could be a lot of people who leave United and Wednesday and go and watch them. No, because it will be a nice little stadium, and they'll get it right as well. They'll get it right. They'll get it right because it'll be new, and they'll put the right bars in, the right systems in place. They'll get parking right. It's an ideal area for getting to.
Wealthy area as well.
Yeah,
you've got a few critters,
yeah, it is. Yeah, it's on the doorstep of, you know, Door, Totley, Derbyshire, Drumfield. You know, these sort of areas. You've got other areas that are a bit rough around there as well, but you know, but there will be people who leave. Ultimately, for me, what's got to happen is Wednesday's got to get it right on the pitch. They've got to get it right on the pitch, and they're not getting it right on the pitch. If they get it right on the pitch,
we let the other stuff go, don't we? That's
yeah, we do, and we did because a little bit before Christmas, didn't we? You've
never been able to buy a chicken or a kebab at the Chicken and Kebab Shack, but we didn't care about that when we were at Wembley. But yeah, now exactly. It's just get something right. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's been people in place for long enough. Obviously, we brought the chief exec in, who does seem to be doing some good things community-wise. But yeah, like I said, unless, like, people are getting so disillusioned with the football and with going to fucking Morecambe away, Jesus Christ, like, why not go and watch Brig away?
I'll tell you what, let's talk about something to you. And I'm going to ruffle a few feathers because I'm Dan Fortune, that's what I do.
You chicken ruffling.
I'm just ruffling feathers left, right, and Skegness. You know what I mean? So we've got a very good program. You know, we have our players go to the hospitals and have their photos taken with the, you know what I mean, and go and see the kids and all the rest of it. Our community stuff is great. I'd rather it be right on the pitch and get the match before we even talk about the pitch. I'd rather get the match day experience right before we start tacking on with the periphery, as it were. I'm not saying don't do it, because I think it's important. Don't get me wrong. I really do think it's important. I think it's important for a club to be part of the community. But I feel as a nation, not just in Sheffield, as a nation, we're moving away from cloth caps and going to match with my dad, and we've got to get you say it's part of community and all the rest of it. And that's what happens, and that's what people do, and that's what people used to do. But now, to a lot of young people, football is a television program. Football is something to attach yourself to in a different way to what we did back when we were kids. And that's drastically changed so much in the last 10 years, and even more so in the last two. So, Daypon, I'm looking at you right down the camera now. Let's have some fucking pies in the pie shop. Let's have more than two people working on a match day. Let's have an operation. There is no point in having pints that fill up from the bottom if you're still going to pour them to order. What's the fucking point? You know what I mean? Like, if you still stood there, right, going, how many pints, Duke? 2 pints. And then putting them on the spike and then them filling up. What's the fucking point? Why just get a tap? Because if you're just going to make them to order, it's a waste of time. Now, you can tell who works in hospitality, can't you? Waste of blood. If you chuck away 4 pints at the end of half time, give them somebody. You know what I mean? If you have to chuck away 6 pies, you know, it's not Wetherspoons. We're not going to sit and count every chip and every piece of chicken that goes. Just buy it and just make sure. People will buy more if they're getting served quicker. Simple as that. You know, we tried, what was that, Vic, that we were talking about last week? Earlier this week, about the pre-match fan zone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We got that wrong. We put an inflatable five-a-side pitch in a car park for the Alt shop. Shite.
But we half-heartedly do everything like that, don't we? Pretty much like we're half-heartedly running the football team at the moment. Because I'll be honest with you, I'm now become one of those people who I'll roll up, I'll park on Harry's Road or down at the Dogs at 2:30, and I walk and I go in and I sit down.
I used to
don't
be giddy.
Buy a pie. I don't that buy a pint. I don't buy a program anymore because they just end up in loft in a box. You know, I don't do. Ethan gets a Wednesday shirt, you know, every year he buys himself a Wednesday shirt. And that's about as much money other than me buying my season ticket that I put into the club. I want to go and watch an entertaining game of football. My away games are the days where I like to go out and spend a bit, you know, go around a few pubs and have a bit of a laugh and stuff. But at home, I just want to go and watch some decent football. And we're not getting that at the moment. And we're not getting value for money out of that team because Steve was talking earlier on, wasn't he, about listening to a few podcasts back. You know, I think one of the things that he said, if we don't go up automatic with this team this season, there's something wrong. And we have got a team that can get us promoted, but it's been managed wrongly.
Absolutely. Go on, Ben.
Just on that, I think that comes back to what we've said, that just get right on pitch and people will be happy. Because a lot of people at home games, I think most of us are like Simon, that we do just rock up, go in ground, sit down and watch game.
It's because everything's such a fucking ball ache as well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's one, the football's shite, so why would I want to buy something that's going to attach me to it? And two, have you tried to buy anything from the owl shop? From the megastore on a match day. Fuck off. Well, you know what I mean? Why can't we just have click and collect? Argos managed it. You know what I mean? Toys R Bloody Us managed it. And they've since had it and then gone out of bloody business. Do you know what I mean? Come on, lads, for God's sake. It's easy. It's easy. And there's plenty of people in that local area that will work there on a Saturday afternoon. You know what I mean?
Look at you. It's funny because I'd been talking to Joanne. Occasionally, we've come down to the Pizza Cup games we've got early, and we've gone to Berry's for a hot roast pork sandwich. And Vic and I have been there a couple of times as well, haven't we, Vic, in the past?
Lockdown date.
I was telling Joanne about it. She's never been before. She's not from York. She's from Warwickshire. Never been. So as a Christmas treat, we went over between Christmas and New Year. Because
you can have me with your partner.
my dad's ashes are scattered outside Hillsborough, and he died just after Christmas. Christmas is a great time in our family. And we put some flowers, and I says, right, we'll go for Berry's. And we walked in. I says, come on, you've got to come in. And it was that production line of hot roast pork sandwiches. And on a Saturday, the queuing, but the number of hot roast pork sandwiches that go through the door and how efficient they serve them. And I've said to this day, I says, Berry's need to get the outlets at Hillsborough.
They used to. They had them for a season, didn't they?
They
did bring them in for one season, definitely on the north, and then I don't know what happened. I think that was under Manderich, actually. I don't think that was under.
But that sort of But that sort of efficiency in regards to catering for large numbers of people quickly, and then that's why we eat a hot roast pork sandwich, because we don't want a pie that's been sat in a warmer for 4 days and has gone solid, you know. And
it's one of those, it's almost like the poem, isn't it? Like, and there was a girl with a little curl in the middle of her forehead. When it was good, it's really good and it's nice and you like to go. But when it's bad, it's fucking awful. It and is. Then you start spotting all these little things. Like, we go to the Riverside Cafe. That's our thing. That's our match day routine. But we will stay there until 10 to 3 and then do exactly what you do. Go and sit down, say hello to people around you. Occasionally, me and Harriet will go down for a pint at half time if the queue's not horrendous, which we did manage the other week when we got that extra 10 minutes extra time and I didn't realise and went down at 45 minutes, got a pint. And that's it. And then I go home. That's my match day. And none of that.
If there was a space on Hillsborough Park, just on the side of it, where it was set up, you know, like the outside of Wembley, when we all went. I don't know if you can remember about all that year, you're only 5 years ago now. Like, you know what I mean? And we went to Wembley and there was outlet of beer all down Wembley. All, not all down
blow the, killer whale so people would know where we were.
In it. You know what I mean? What if we had that? What if we just set something up? Would you still go to the Riverside or would you go and see somebody before and make an event of the day? You know what I mean? Because what it is now, we've got people coming in and playing the averages out. They only go because they've got a season ticket. They only go because they want the TPP points. They just turn up out of habit because it's something they've done the last 30, 40 years. Is anybody, when you really stop, it's like a nightclub. You look around and you go, is anybody actually having a good time?
There isn't. At the moment, there isn't, mate. And I think this is why you're seeing a lot of trouble in crowds and stuff as well, is because
people are fucking bored.
I don't think that's just Wednesday either. I think
I think you're right.
That so many clubs probably of our like similar size stature. Look at Sunderland. It were for the league that we're both in, bumper crowd, New Year's. Everyone's just going in and sitting down and watching football. They were not going off outside except one pub that's just opposite. Whether that's something to do with us all being northern, we're not bothered about pomp and ceremony and it being an event. Like you find at Spurs, for instance. But then you look at City, and I know that it's obviously a different level, different standard, different scale. But even when we went there back in 2014, they've got stage set up. They had a band.
Yeah.
They had
Yeah,
and play Sheffield Wednesday in the League Cup or whatever it were. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the Q&A thing, they were like local journalists.
I'm not saying we do that on the same level because just not that many people are going to be interested in it. But like I say, if there were something like that in car park, but set up properly, like we said, we half-arse things. We don't do things all in. All it'd take is two or three injured players, which, you know, sometimes they used to do.
Yeah.
To go at Megastore beforehand or be meeting people in car park before a game.
But even then, the Megastore's not set up for it. It would just be a melee of Northern shitheads being shitheads. Not that I've got an issue with Northerners, just, you know, just the shithead ones. Just being shitheads, smelling the place up like piss and fags. You know that smell that reminds you of Millmore back in there? You know what I mean? That piss and fag smell.
But just to go back to original point that we set off on, is it our fault as fans? Again, I'd say no. I think that what I called out last night were shit and it doesn't help. There are instances like that and players have mentioned them instances last year and, you know, you've seen it happen this year where what got set at Lewis Wing yesterday and that doesn't help, but generally, you look at what we were doing at Sunderland. What other club does that at 4-0 down? Just that at 4-0 down, we just started celebrating.
But this is it, Ben. What that is, and you see it on Twitter all the time, is what people call gallows humour. You know what I mean? We're shit, and if we don't laugh about it, we're going to go fucking stupid. Now, for me, enough is enough. You know what I mean? We're paying our money. We're turning up. We've been doing it for 20 years, and the closest we've got to getting back into the big time and making it an event to go and kids wanting to be Sheffield Wednesday fans. I mean, my school was full of Wednesday fans and nobody was a United fan. I bet there's been a good few periods over the last 20 years where that's changed. And that absolutely blows my mind. Now, we're paying our money, we're turning up, and we're getting fuck all for it. And it's frustrating. And now what we've got is what you call zombie fans. You know what I mean? It's like episodes of The Simpsons after about season four. You know what I mean? Just zombies, just absolutely coming in, playing the averages out and leaving. And that's what's happening.
I think we're a bit harsh there. I think we do, you're right, we do get into this, and we missed it for a year. You know, we do get into this habit of going to the match on the Saturday, and for some are closer than others, it's getting there, and some are further away, etc. But I think a lot of us, I go because I grab.
Oh, sorry, your audio just cut out.
We might actually play well. We might play well, and we'll smash somebody. You know, in every game I go in and I go control alt delete. So if I'd gone to Shrewsbury, I'd have gone control alt delete. We'd have got in the car, driven down there, and I walked in going 5-0. Can't remember that. I want to enjoy this game. And I go with that. We had that in Carlos years. That time I'm saying to Ethan when we beat Arsenal, looking at scoreboard to our left and saying, remember days like these? Because these don't happen very often when you're a Wednesday fan. I was, you know, growing up in the 90s and enjoying the 90s, I was very privileged to see that football, which Ben has never, you know, witnessed. You know, and will we witness it again? Will I witness it again in my lifetime? God knows. But I do go, and I think a lot of fans go with that. We're going to stuff somebody. We're going to hammer somebody. We're actually going to play well. And it's when they don't, and which they haven't done for the last few games in this season, that's when you start feeling let down. You start getting feeling let down by the club. You get feel. Obviously, the first target is the manager and the players. And obviously, yesterday with Lewis Wing, he's had a poor season with us. But maybe there's a few players who've had a poor season with us. But everybody's so accessible now via social media, isn't it? That Vic, you've had your own issues through social media, haven't you, in the past, which you highlighted the other week. It's wrong. People shouldn't do that. It literally used to get shouted from the terraces, you shit, you know, and that was it. That's where it ended. But now it's more personal and people get more personal.
Okay.
I just want to see them play well.
Just as a backup on that point. Now, like you said, you know, Vic, for all intents and purposes, is a nobody compared to Lewis Wing. Sorry, Vic. Now, if I was in a, play back in the 90s, how would I know how good I was?
Purely by what somebody might say to you if you were in Josephine's one night.
Or you'd see the reviews. You know what I mean?
Watch the reviews, or somebody shouts it at you when you're running down the turn.
I don't think that that's new. I think that the outlets have changed. Do you know what I mean? I think that's what's happened. I think, you know, players, the whole world is now getting set up to cut down on interaction between people. That's why anybody a couple of generations younger than Ben will not know how to handle themselves in public situations, because kids don't go out and get pissed up like they used to. Kids don't go out and chat up members of the opposite sex like they used to, because there are apps for it. We, even in football, when it comes to making a big decision, there used to be a big knobhead with a side parting with a big stout belly and go, no offsides on a Sunday, play on some, and that'd be it. You know what I mean? But now we've got VAR, where the referee stood there going, hey, it's not me. It's not me. It's them in that office. You're going to have to tell them after the game, it's not me. Let's play on anyway. You know what I mean? And everything has been taken away. We order our food via an app. We meet opposite sex via an app. You know what I mean? We talk to each other at different ends of the country via an app. You know what I mean? And it's just the interaction's changed. So when it comes to saying that Lewis Wing is shite, he has been shite. Mm. But what? He's got to sit there and just go, no, Gio, stop being nasty. You've been shit, and we're paying money to come and see you be shit. Stop being shit, and then we'll stop saying it. Quick maths. Do you know what I mean? Like, we seem to have gone so far the other way that if somebody is underperforming, people are now outraged to the point where they're like, how dare you tell me that I'm underperforming? You've been shit. Do you know what I mean? Now, don't get me wrong. The Lewis Wing thing is a bad example, because it was, you know, it brought his kids into it, and that's pretty out of order. Don't get me wrong. But why can't I tell a footballer online, you played shit? Why can't I?
No, I'm not against it. I would like we said that example that was just the example I used.
I've done
same with players in the past, not like verbally, you know, not like outright abused them, but you slag players off on social media like you would to your mates in pub, like, you know.
Yeah, I thought that the Spider-Man movie was shit, so I took to the internet to say that was shit.
Right? Do you really think? Just putting it out there, like, do you think that Lee Gregory sat down at night, goes on his Instagram, and sees someone say that he's shit? Is that going to make him go, "Ooh, I tell you what, Simon, I'm going to show you next, so you can help me right good"?
No, or is he going to go, "Bloody fortune, you know what? Shit about me. Shit about my opinion."
You see some players on Under the Cosh podcast, for example. Sorry for mentioning another podcast, but
it's all right. You know, there's other podcasts out there. Someone steal the money out of your building society book. Go on, carry on.
But some of the players that they've had on there, some of them do take notice of it. That just depends on personality and where, you know, some of them you'd argue need to be stronger about it. Yeah, but I don't always think it helps. Every situation is different, but I just think it's counterproductive at times.
The problem is that it's that giving criticism and then it turning into abuse, isn't it? And this is
yes.
the trouble.
Now, this is my point, Simon, because this is where I want to come down on. What they need to realise is that the world is now open. We can talk to anybody we want. The world's open, right? Out there, and this may come as a shock to you, are some fucking shitheads, right? So if you can't deal with it, don't be on it. You know what I mean? I don't get it. However, and there is an argument for, well, why should I not be on it? I get it. You know what I mean? But we all now know that Twitter's an absolute toilet, and that's why half the players have left. I completely understand it. But on one hand, I've got an argument where I'm going, well, if you can't take it, fuck off. And they did. You know what I mean? Or on the other hand, I'm like, well, hang on a minute. If you're going to put yourself out there, you've got to take the slings and arrows that come with it. But they're doing their job. They're literally just working. And, you know, it's to use Vic's analogy, like walking into Sainsbury's in Meadowhall back in 1995, because I've just realised it's not there anymore halfway through that sentence. You know, you won't walk up to the counter and go, "You're scanning those cabbages, shit," would you?
But well, I don't know.
I would. I find the whole thing really interesting. I mean, Vic, have you got anything to add on that? I felt like I was, you know what I mean. I don't want you think. I want to open it up as a conversation. I've got no real strong opinion either way, but like, do you not feel that we're losing the ability, even though we've opened up, to be able to give feedback, however constructive and piss poor constructive it is?
I'm more mindful of it due to stuff that's gone off recently and everything else. And also Barry Bannon follows me, so I would never want to say anything really bad about him. But I am mindful of it in that it's not going to make anyone do any better. If I sit there just going, "Oh, so-and-so was shit," he's not going to go to bed that night and go, "Right, that Victoria said I'm shit, so from now on I've got to try really hard." He's not.
Cameron Dawson did. Look how much he's shoved up my arse since he's been to Exeter.
Cameron Dawson leaving his review. That's my favourite Wednesday week thing that's ever happened. I'm very cautious of that kind of thing because it doesn't do anyone any favours. Like,
no, it doesn't.
I will slate the team. I've been very cautious, and I hope I've not shoot myself in the foot by saying this, that I've not gone personally at anybody, not with a personal comment or even by name. Just, I can't be bothered.
Well, that's because you're a nice person and you wouldn't dream of doing that in Sainsbury's in 1996. That's what I mean.
You couldn't do it in Aldi. They'd launch a cabbage at your head, wouldn't they?
Before they'd not fuck about in Aldi. They'll have wrapped your arm up behind the back and scanned the cabbages before you've got your wallet out.
Cash your card.
In it. I find it fascinating. I find it really fascinating. You know, if there's anybody out there in the public eye that uses social media, but it gets them down. You know what I mean? I'd love to hear about it because I feel like we use it as a as a thing. I use it as a boredom tool, or I want to write some decent gags or take the piss out of something. Whereas some people, you know, other people use it as a way to connect with their fans and stuff like that. I'd love to pick at the brains of that. But that, you know, that was social media. Listen,
well,
we've got
to ask Stevie. Stevie uses it to connect with his fans, doesn't he?
Of course he does. Of course he does.
Middle-aged Twitter goes wild whenever Stevie's on the podcast.
Don't start me on middle-aged Twitter. By the way, Vic sent me a wonderful link last night for a Aston Villa dads. Aston Villa dads account, and you know, like Laura Woods, Emma Jones. Whenever they tweet and you read some of the comments, and they've always got club badges as their avatars. Someone set up an account in homage to these mucky dads. And it's
Villa dads, yeah.
Honestly, I am absolutely on the verge of doing a Wednesday Dyer account. Listen, let's move on. Let's move on, because this is going to be a hot potato. Ben, more outering.
I'm right at middle at fence.
You've got splinters on your ass on that one, have you?
Yeah, right at middle. I've said before and again and again and again, and I still think it, we've just got to stick with someone through thick and thin at this stage.
But it's all thin.
Yeah.
There's no thick.
I know. But I am also fed up of it, and it don't feel like it's getting any better. So that's why I'm right on fence. I can't see either way at the moment.
Now, Vic, you alluded to it earlier on. Are you still, what's the point? What's the point of sacking somebody?
It's not like he's going to have any money to spend if you bring somebody else in January. He's just
no, he's
going
to have to do it with Moore's team.
Yeah, he's going to do it with Moore's team, or she could be Emma Hayes or whatever. But yeah, they'd have to do it with Moore's team. They'd have to do it either Moore's team and loans. That's it. So you might as well stick with him. You know, we're not going to get relegated. We were never going to bounce back this season. We never were. And I can still see us getting in the playoffs. I don't think anyone really, realistically thought we're going to go straight. But what the hell are you doing? Sorry, my dog's just digging out all the bedding from underneath the spare bed. Stop it.
If there's a dead mouse in there or something, I'm going to laugh.
No, she's just bringing out all the pillows. I was saying, yeah, so I don't think bringing someone else in isn't going to make any difference yet. We weren't going to just bounce straight back up and then be 90 minutes away from the Premier League like we were a few years ago. He's brought him in for a reason. He knows this league. Players obviously have a lot of respect for him. Obviously, we have no idea what's going on financially at the moment as well. There's always that black cloud hanging over Essex, isn't there?
Yeah, but okay. So let's pull up that thread, right? So a lot of the sceptical Wednesday fans, Vic, were all very much, well, he's brought out a season ticket renewal because the accounts are up in January and all the rest of the bollocks that we were speculating on. We don't know. Now, surely Chancery can't fuck it up again with the finances.
He can't, can he?
He can.
Surely not.
The problem is Mr. Chancery is a lure to himself. Yeah. And he's done it before, and he's got history doing it, so probably he can do it again.
I mean,
I'd like to think not.
You look at the season ticket thing, which didn't go down too well. I think they were probably wanting to do it earlier, but I think they probably talked him out of putting the early bird thing out any earlier than he did. Which, you know, again, he might have been doing it with best intentions again, like he said, to reward the loyal fan base, whatever quotes he used. But again, it's just a sign that he doesn't really get it. I'm trying not to go over and blame him again and again, because what's happening up pitch isn't his fault at the moment. The situation we're in is obviously we know he's got to take some responsibility for, but what's happening currently, you know,
I agree.
So in the short term, in down to him. So let's not completely go off like. And I would probably what worst on Twitter about Chancery 18 months ago. We pretty much all were his fault with points deductions and stuff like that. But at the moment, you know, he's brought in a manager that at the time we were all happy with. You know, he brought Darren Moore in. We've all been happy with that.
I tell you what, Ben. Let's put a pin in that. I'm going to come to Simon about the about Darren Moore in and out, and then I want you to remind me just the back end of the season. Go on, Simon. So, Darren Moore, then, is it out the frying pan into the fryer? And if anybody says to me, who are you going to get then? It's not my fault.
Don't ask me who you're going to get, because I don't know the football leagues that well.
In every other country.
I don't know. That list that was put on our WhatsApp group the other week, I had a quick look through that. I don't think whoever would come in. So I'm basically sitting on the fence of, I think he needs to go. I've seen enough now to say that he hasn't got any plan B. He will not change the style of play that we play.
Which is what ultimately undid Carlos as well.
Yes. He seems to have a mentality of just sticking his hand in a hat and pulling players out who to pick. We've not had a settled squad. And I think I said at the start of the season, we need... All right, the back four have been reduced quite considerably due to injuries, and that's well out of his hands. But
what's he done about it? Well, he dropped Kieran Brennan.
He dropped Kieran Brennan and played Pato at the back. You know, these sort of things, that there are and there were players that he could play in that back four. He's dropped, a player of the month, Corbino. He's dropped him, to which point there's rumours that he might be going back to Wolves. He's played a player massively out of form in regards to Lewis Wing. Which you mentioned Shadipo earlier on. I read a tweet the other day about that. He scored 20 goals last season. You look at the formation that he played in wasn't the formation that our guys are expecting. This wing back formation doesn't suit him, and also he's barely got in the side. Additions to the side, I think we only need a centre back. I think we've got a strong enough squad to somebody to take on and to push if they've got an idea of how to manage the side. And I just think Darren Moore's, listening to Doncaster fans, he's never been plan B. He wasn't plan B with them, and he's definitely not plan B with us. And I just feel that we are underachieving with what we've got. And I think if anybody came in, I don't think they'd have to spend any money. I don't think we're allowed to spend money anyway. We're allowed to get free agents or loans. But we've got, how many fucking loans have we got anyway? We've got bucket loads of loans already. So.
Well, the way they're performing, Simon, they can all go back for me. Like, you know what I mean? We can give them back.
He's brought players in like Berahino, he was a mate. He's come from, and Jesus Christ, I won't pay him in crayons. Absolutely dreadful. Absolutely. He's bringing these, he's going to prove himself. Well, he's proved to me he's a fucking waste of money.
I tell you what, I'm going to have to put an explicit warning on this show.
Sorry.
But no,
sorry.
Most of it's me. Right, it's been I remembered. I'll open this up to the floor. Is anybody else really pissed off just how hard Derby County are playing to try and stay up in that league? Did anybody think that we would get that as Sheffield Wednesday fans, that fighting desire that Derby have got?
No,
I mean, they could stay up, genuinely. The way they're going...
They're three wins away.
It's nine. You'd have thought it were nine impossible 2 or 3 months ago, which it still probably is, but...
Really?
Not even got a good squad.
It doesn't help that I really hate that club. I really hate that Wayne Rooney went there. I really hate that they cheated. Then they've been cheating for a number of years. I really hate that they stayed up and didn't go down with us. Fuck them. But I've got to go. Fair play, lads. You are absolutely grafting. Fair play.
I mean, I think every centre-back they've got is 35 and over.
Hey, listen, I'll have nothing bad said about 35-plus centre-backs.
They've got Jagielka, Curtis Davis, Richard Stearman.
Hey, it's a great team in 2007.
They're all putting out their skin.
Honestly, I haven't really followed it. Is he playing the same team every week? Is he playing a set back four, a set midfield? Is he changing?
I don't know. But I tell you what, there's some fight and there's some desire and there's some absolute want to win.
Yeah. Well, I think he's probably, that's why he rushed touchback on Saturday. When was it? Was it Saturday, Sunday? What day was it when we played?
I haven't got any clue.
But, to try and instill a bit of fight into them, because they certainly didn't have that at Sunderland. And that's what annoyed me about Barry Bannon, because he's the captain, and I just wanted him to just grab somebody by the neck.
Stop slagging Bannon off.
I'm not slagging him off. I just wanted him just to grab somebody by the scruff of the neck and say, will you bloody play?
Yeah, but then Simon, devil's advocate, I'm the one that normally bones at him for doing that and saying that's unprofessional and he shouldn't be doing that. And
I think he does it completely the wrong way. There's nothing constructive about it. I think it's just him going, what is it? That's fucking shit. I think that's it. Well, that's not constructive. That's not helpful. No. That's just him fucking whinging. All right. Have we got any other business? Because I tell
Dan, where do you sit on the manager's front?
Fuck him. I tell you who it is, right? And I'll be honest. I think he's got nothing. I think he's got nothing about him. And when you look at the best managers, they're not always the best footballers. Now, Darren Moore played football at a high level. Now, in this country, we have a certain way that football has to be played. It has to be played in a certain way because we're British and that's how we play it. And Darren Moore played football in that era. And I would not have him down as a student of the game. Jurgen Klopp, exception to Pep Guardiola, he did play at the highest level. Alex Ferguson, I think, played for, what was it? Did he play for Rangers or somewhere?
And, Aberdeen.
Yeah. Arsene Wenger played, you know, the French equivalent of Sunday Bloody League. I want somebody who's a student of the game. I don't want somebody who had heart, desire and was a lovely fella. I don't give a shit. I want to win football
matches.
In a way,
that's a bit like Carlos, because he was more of a student of the game than... Mm. I don't think he had a...
And he took us the highest we've been in 20 years.
Yeah.
And... I think he was unlucky with the injuries that he had, and when the pressure mounted, he lost his mind. We all remember the £20 note thing that happened. I'm done with him. I'm done with him because I don't think he actually knows what he's doing, and I think he's just a square peg in a square hole.
This season, so Jekyll and Hyde that we could go on a run now of three wins and we'd all be back on going, do you know what? We were wrong about Darren Moore, because this is what we seem to be doing every week. We're changing it every time.
If Darren Moore does that to me, I'll stand up and go, fair play, Darren Moore, I got you wrong.
Yeah.
But which is what we've been doing.
But we've been on a 12-game unbeaten run where we've drawn seven of them. And how many of them have we fucked up from winning positions?
Wimbledon and Cheltenham come to mind.
Isn't it? So, fuck him. I'm done with him. Get me an absolute geek. Get me a bloke in sits there with a laptop. Get me somebody who sits there going, I tell you what, there's more XG involved in it. Whatever. Just get me a student, somebody who wants to learn, somebody who understands the game inside out. Not a nice guy who used to be quite the competitor when he was playing. Couldn't give a fuck. He's not very good. You know what I mean? And the more we romanticise it and the more we build it up and the more we go, well, let's give him a chance. It's a 12-game unbeaten run. With the squad we've got. Now, don't get me wrong. We have signed players very, very well. We have got a good squad there and he can't do out with it.
No.
You know what I mean? Great. It's like going to war with a Tommy gun.
Stuart Gray again, isn't it, really, in a way? Because he signed some cracking players.
Stuart Gray, I would take in a heartbeat.
What he had.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would take Stuart Gray back. And absolutely, because what he's done, you know, he's in the Premier League now with Fulham, and he's in the coaching staff with them. Knows football, knows it. I'd take him back. That and I went for a drink with him at Bedford's in Southampton once. But, you know, we're mates. So, like, I'd just go, this ain't working. It's just not working. And what's the definition of madness? Doing the same thing over and over and over again. Yeah. Well, you know, Darren Moore's not working out for us, so why are we still fucking persisting with it? And you get these people on Twitter that will go, it's not worked out for us changing the manager before. Yeah, it did. We got 90 minutes away from the Premier League. And why would you stick with something that's just not working? I don't understand. I don't get it. It's really odd argument.
Yeah, we've all done that in the past and it's not worked out well, haven't we? We've been with partners, we've stayed in bad relationships because we thought, it'll sort itself out. You know, Dave had a great analogy, wasn't it? If we all stuck with what we would, we'd all be living in the same house we first bought. We'd all be the same boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever. We'd all be driving the same car. You know, we'd all be doing exactly the same thing, wouldn't we, if we kept that analogy?
There's a lot of people in Yorkshire who still who do that.
I'm still in the same house I bought.
I wish I was, but I'm not.
So there you are. I'm done with him. I'm done with him. It's not working. Dust your hands down and let's try somebody else. Let's just not get a League Two German manager who looks like a cross between Droopy and Freddie Mercury tribute band. You know, don't get B-Tech Freddie in. Who the fuck is he? You know what I mean? I was hoping that we were going to get some learned German. Where's our Nuno? Where's our David Wagner? Where are they?
Been and gone. Been and gone.
So let's get one of them back, because this is taking the piss. Where's that who's that Portuguese fella that beat Man U? Who's heard of him? Where's he come from?
Wednesday.
That lager. Yeah, we had him here. Gone, see you, pal. And now he's just beat Manchester United at Old Trafford. Beggars fucking belief. And we're sat there with a bloke that just goes, well, here you are. We'll play football, lads. But it's all right. I'm a nice guy. Bin.
I agree.
Does anybody have any other business?
Beavers.
Beavers?
Not beavers.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the underage scouting movement. All right. Mark Beavers, I think we've poured cold water onto the Beavers rumour. You know, benefit of retrospect wouldn't have been a worst at this level. I think it'd have only been a short-term use to us, though. What about you?
I'd have him.
Yeah.
We need a centre-back, don't we? We need somebody in there with a bit of experience. So he'd do a job, wouldn't he? But
I tell you what, Vic, he's got a lot better looking with age, hasn't he? That's because you remember him when he were a dopey kid who could eat an apple through a letterbox. You don't know. He's a good-looking fella now. He's growing a beard out. Yeah. What about you, Vic? Any other business?
I don't think so. No.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, thanks a lot. I'm sorry about the language tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Stay with us next week when hopefully we've got something nice to talk about. Hopefully we might have a win. Hopefully we might have a new manager without a Primark coat hanger. Let's see how that goes. Thanks a lot for joining us. Have a good evening. See you later.
The Wednesday Week Podcast. A strictly unbiased view on Sheffield Wednesday.
The world's greatest football club.
It's the 90th minute. You've got all your mates round. You've got your McNugget share boxes coming down the left wing ready to go. Your mate's already been booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points back of the net. Le Bosch. Ultimate delivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com for more information. See you later.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport, powered by fans.